Hello, friend. Happy Friday. You've made it through another week. I hope it's been a good one for you. Welcome to Grace in Focus. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And this Friday episode concludes what we've been calling Blog Week, a week's worth of shows that focus on some of our influential articles on our website, faithalone.org. Today's focus is an article written by Bob Wilkin, which appeared April 22nd, 2019, called Pastors Who Give Several Different Salvation Messages. I'm going to come back at the end of the program to tell you how to get subscribed to our daily blog posts, so stay tuned for that. Let's go to Sean and Bob in the Grace in Focus studios as they discuss this baffling phenomenon. Here's Grace in Focus.
Thanks for tuning in. My name is Sean.
Hi, my name is Bob.
And this whole week, we've been doing different topics based on our blog. You can sign up for free at faithalone.org. We put out a blog every day, just 500, 600 words, to just challenge you. A lot of people have contacted us saying they start off their day with our blog. Just have a thought from the Word that challenges them to grow in Christ, that expands their thinking, expands their understanding, and encourages them. Well, I'd encourage you to sign up to get that. Go to faithalone.org and sign up for our blog for free. Well, today, Bob, you wrote a blog a little while ago called Pastors Who Give Several Different Salvation Messages, and that's what we're going to talk about today. Basically, pastors aren't always consistent.
No, I received this question. The person emailed me and said, have you ever come across pastors who are well-known that give different salvation messages? It seems that sometimes they give the correct biblical salvation, and at other times, they give salvation by works. I don't understand. If they give the biblical faith alone salvation, why would they change it at other times to a lordship salvation or a work salvation message? My experience has been this does take place, and I believe there are several reasons. First of all, it seems to me lots of pastors feel like there are different ways to be born again. You can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, or you can commit your life to Christ,
right,
or you can ask Jesus into your heart, or you can receive him as your Lord and Savior.
All right, so you're saying they have different salvation messages because they actually believe in different methods of salvation.
Yeah, I think one of the things I've found, many leading evangelical pastors are convinced that salvation comes through Jesus Christ, which is good, and that it's by some sort of encounter with Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And we don't need to be picky about it.
We don't need to be picky about how Jesus is encountered.
Right. In other words, you can encounter him by turning from your sins, by committing your life to him, by promising to serve him, by believing in him, by inviting him into your heart. You name it, receiving him as your Lord and Savior, whatever it is, they'll say, as long as you know you're saved by Jesus, they'll say, well, that's enough. I think one of the reasons they're willing to give different messages is because they don't think God's that, they would use the word picky. They don't think that it, I've heard some of them say, you know, it's not like a Bible quiz. But I think that's their first reason. And the second reason is the pastors of these large churches are under a lot of pressure to please the people in their congregations.
Right.
And one of the key areas is over their evangelistic clothes, their evangelistic appeal. I've gotten emails from lots of people who are from a free grace perspective who've talked to their pastor over and over again, and the pastor will say things like, turn from your sins to be saved, give your life to Christ, commit your life to Christ.
And all of those are problematic because they're all works-based salvation messages.
And so what these people will say is, Pastor, wouldn't you just tell people to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved? I'll get an email from them saying, guess what? My pastor last Sunday did it.
Right.
He preached, just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be, nothing else.
Right.
But the problem is that same pastor is going to then have other people from his church saying, you just preached an easy believism message.
Right.
You need to be preaching that you've got to give everything to Christ. And so a couple of weeks later, he gives a message and says, you've got to give it all. You've got to give it. Or he might say to appease the people in his congregation, well, we're saved simply by faith, but if you're really saved, you will live a godly life and you will persevere in good works. And if you don't do that, you show you really weren't saved. part of the reason why I think they give these conflicting messages is because they're trying to appease lots of people in their congregations.
Right. They'll say things under pressure, and maybe they don't have very strong beliefs about it themselves, you know, so they're willing to kind of bend this way and that.
Let me give you an illustration. Back when I taught at Multnomah Bible College, I remember I heard a world-famous evangelist speak at a church. It was an evangelistic message, and so because I have a real interest in evangelism, I started writing down what he said you need to do to be born again.
Mm-hmm.
He gave 9 different things.
Oh, yeah.
He did at one point say you have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But other times he was saying you need to invite Jesus into your heart. Receive Christ as your Savior. And another time he said receive Christ as your Lord and Savior.
Mm-hmm.
Commit your life to Christ. He gave 9 different things, and I wrote them all down. Why was he doing that? Was he doing that because he wanted to confuse people? I don't think so. I think what he thought was those different ways can reach different people. In fact, I remember I had a debate with a seminary professor one time, and in the debate, he said that some people are born again simply by believing in Christ and receiving the free gift, and he cited the woman at the well in John 4. But he said some people, like the rich young ruler, have to give everything mm-hmm. and give up everything in order to be saved. And that's the way he understood the rich young ruler passage. Mm-hmm. And he said for other people, they have to turn from their sins to be saved. And he pointed to some passages he thought meant that. And he said, if I'm talking to a group, I'll give all those different things because different conditions will reach different people.
Well, before we get to your third reason, I'm thinking about another reason that you don't have here. Isn't it that just a lot of pastors, they have different salvation messages just because they are straight up confused? It's not that they positively believe that there are different ways of salvation, and it's not that they're necessarily bending under pressure, but, you know, they haven't thought about it enough to know that there is a difference between asking someone to commit their life to Christ versus believing in the promise.
That's exactly right. To give you an illustration of this, I went to Dallas Theological Seminary, which was, I think, the leading conservative evangelical seminary, at least one of them.
You think it was the best in the
world.
It
was the best. Let's just say
let's just admit it.
Let's just say that. Okay. When I was there, we had a class on Romans, and we wrote 2 papers. One was on justification and one sanctification for that class. So we wrote 20 pages on justification based on Romans. And we came to class one day, and we were talking about it, and somehow we got to talking about when you're a pastor, how are you going to evangelize? And I remember one of the young men in the group, one of the young guys said, oh, well, I don't have the gift of evangelism. So the people said, so? So he said, so I'm not going to evangelize.
Mm-hmm.
He said, that's the job of the people in the church that have the gift of evangelism. He said, I'm just going to preach the Bible. Well, of course, the problem with that is, if you're going to preach the Bible, you're going to have to, at some points, evangelize people because the text is evangelistic.
Yeah.
If you're going through John's Gospel, you're going to be getting this a lot. And if you're confused, like you say, then you're going to come to different passages in different books, and you're going to give different saving messages, and you may not even realize you're doing it.
Right. And I bet there are listeners right now. You're in your car, or you're in your truck, and you're thinking to yourself, what is the difference between giving my life to Christ or asking Jesus into my heart versus believing in him? And you've probably just heard muddled messages in your church, and so as a result, maybe you're not totally clear in your mind. And you hear us explaining, no, there are some pretty stark differences between having like a mystical type of experience of Jesus entering your heart, whatever that means,
right,
versus simply being persuaded that his promise is true, which is what faith is.
Exactly.
You know, and so I'm glad that we're on air to kind of explain that to you, or at least to get you intrigued into learning more. What does it mean to believe in Jesus versus all these other things? Because a lot of pastors are confused, and a lot of churches are confused as a result about this.
Yeah. You know, the old joke, a mist in the pulpit is a fog in the pew.
Yeah.
If the pastor's a little confused, the parishioners will be very confused. Well, my last point ties into what you just said,
mm-hmm.
and that is, remember the bracelets, WWJD, what mm-hmm. would Jesus do?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we know what Jesus would do when it comes to evangelizing
mm-hmm.
and to evangelism. He would say, whoever believes in him will not perish, but has everlasting life. John 3:16.
I mean, the first, especially the first 12 chapters of John. The book of John, and we've said this many times on this program, but maybe you're going to hear it for the first time. Every book of the Bible has its own purpose. Not every single one of them tells us what the purpose is. But the Gospel of John tells us why it was written. John 20, verses 30 to 31. He wrote it so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. So he's writing to people who don't believe yet, and he's writing to people who don't have life in his name yet. And he wants to get them to the point where they will believe in Jesus. So John has an evangelistic purpose. And each of the gospel writers selected different episodes of Jesus' life and different incidents in Jesus' life in order to make a point. And John, in John's gospel, selects all the times when Jesus did one-on-one evangelism telling people how to have everlasting life.
Right.
So if you want to know how to have everlasting life, where do you think you should go? The book that was written for that purpose.
Absolutely. Now, we can find it in other books, but the point is, it's emphasized in the Gospel of John.
Mm-hmm.
You remember in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, Paul says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what?
Making things up.
Not making things up.
Praying in a forest.
Not praying in a forest. The Word of God.
Oh, you need the Word of God for faith.
Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so, if you're in your car or truck and you're saying, I don't know for sure if I have everlasting life or not, why not take Jesus at his word? He said, John 11:26, he who lives and believes in me shall never die. And there he's talking about shall never die spiritually. Is that true? If it's true, then if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you know you will never die spiritually. And that is indeed good news.
Thanks, Sean and Bob, for that great discussion. I know that I've experienced that exact phenomenon in my own life, and it caused all kinds of frustration. If you'd like to get clear on subjects like this and others, I'd encourage you to come to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. This week, we've been looking at various articles on our daily blog. If you want to get signed up for our blog, you can do that at faithalone.org as well. In addition to this, we have all kinds of other resources that I think would really help you grow. We've got a free print magazine. You can get a subscription completely free of charge, and it will show up 6 times a year in your mailbox, hassle-free. We also have teaching videos from Bob and Sean. We have podcasts of previous episodes of this show. In addition, you might be interested to know that we do Bible conference events around the nation. We have one coming up soon. You can get on the website, faithalone.org, and find out where our next one is and come join us in person. Maybe you'd like to become a financial partner with the Grace Evangelical Society. If that's the case, all gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated. You can do that on faithalone.org as well. Maybe you have a question for Bob or Sean. That's great. They love to hear from listeners. I'll give you our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Well, we've come to the end of a wonderful week. I hope you have a great weekend ahead of you. We'll be back on Monday to discuss God's grace. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until then, let's keep grace in focus.